محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So today's topic is cheerfulness. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was a cheerful person. So I have a book that I just opened up today. It's been on my shelf. It was it seems like it was meant for today's class. عندي كتاب اليوم فتحته، يعني كان عندي من زمان. اسم الكتاب ابتسامات نبوية. فالمؤلف تتبع مواضع ابتسم فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فجاء يعني ما شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى صورة جميلة جدا، فاخترت منها بعض النقاط. So there's the author, he it's called Prophetic Smiles, the book. And so the author, he went through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a hadith, and he collected all of the instances where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled at somebody. And it's a long book, and it gives a picture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam often we're not familiar with. So I selected some sections from it. Inshallah, we'll benefit from them together. So in the beginning of the book, في مقدمة الكتاب، يقول المؤلف، the author, he mentions, he says that يقول المؤلف يرتبط التدين في أذهان كثير من الناس بالعبوس والتقطيب والتجهم والعصبية. He said, the author, he says with many people, they think that when you become a religious person, that means that you have to frown at people, you have to be serious, you have to get angry, and there's, he mentions from the he mentions that their parents, whose children, they're happy, they're playful, and they smile at people, they enjoy spending time with people. And then when they become religious, they suddenly change, and the cheerfulness goes away. And he says that that comes from a misunderstanding of the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was somebody who used to smile very frequently. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it said Imam Ahmad, he narrates a hadith. أورد الإمام أحمد في مسنده. He said from أم الدرداء, from that she used to say, قالت كان أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه لا يحدث بحديث إلا تبسم فيه, فقلت له إني أخشى أن يحمقك أو يحمقك, لا
يحمقك,
أن يحمقك الناس. فقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحدث بحديث إلا تبسم. So Umm al-Darda, the wife of Sayyidina Abu Darda, she used to say that Abu Darda, whenever he would relate a hadith, he would always smile. And she said that you smile so much, it's as though people will, you smile so much that you look silly, and people will say that you look silly. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would never say anything except that he would smile. And there's another hadith that Imam al-Tirmidhi, he narrates from one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, ما رأيت أحدا أكثر تبسما من رسول الله sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I never saw anybody who smiled more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a famous hadith which we've heard before from in this class, he said in Sahih hadith, he said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. He said that don't think any good deed to be slight, even if it is that you meet your brother with a cheerful face, with a smiling face. And in other narrations of this hadith, it's come that the Prophet ﷺ said that smiling in the face of your brother is an act of charity. And they mention that, the scholars, they mention that when you smile at somebody, you enter happiness into their heart. And entering happiness into the hearts of other people is a good deed. And there's other scholars, they say that somebody who's smiling and cheerful, it's a sign that they have an illumined heart. It's spiritually close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to smile not just at his companions, but even with little children. Sayyidina Anas, who was the servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years as a child. And he had a younger brother. And his younger brother, his name, he was called Abu Umair. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to visit him. It's a little boy. And this is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the head of the state, the leader of the army, the messenger of Allah. He has wives, he has family, he has all of these responsibilities. He used to visit, because he loved Sidna Anas, he used to visit his brother, his little brother, and he used to laugh with him. So they used to laugh together. And then once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found him sad. He found him sad. He asked about him. He said that why is he sad? And they said that it was because he had a bird. He used to keep a bird, and he used to play with the bird, and the bird died. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him with fondness, and he said, "Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala an-nughayr?" He said, "Oh, Abu Umair, what happened to the little bird?" And he joked with him, because the word for bird, he changed it so that it rhymed with the name of this little boy. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he smiled. He used to smile at little children. He took time out to comfort him when he was sad. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he arrived in Medina, the Medinans, there was a Sahabiya, a Medinan woman, and she said she had a servant, a little servant girl, and her name was Rumiya. And so she said to her, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just arriving in Medina, she said to her that when he arrives, keep watch out for him, and when he arrives, tell me, because I've never seen him before. I want to meet him. And so this little girl, she wasn't a Muslim yet, servant girl. She went out, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, she went out and she took hold of, she grabbed him by his the upper garment that he was wearing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to this girl and he smiled at her. And in one of the narrations, it said that he rubbed her, he put his hand over her head out of mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she became Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was going, the smiling is a sunnah, not just of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also of the angels and other prophets. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the Isra and Mi'raj, as he went from heaven to heaven, he was greeted by angels, and he went with Sayyidina Jibreel. But there was one, and these angels, they smiled at him and they welcomed him. But there was one angel that didn't smile at him or welcome him. Welcomed him, but didn't smile at him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Sayyidina Jibreel, he said that, "Mali lam ati li ahli as-sama'i illa rahhabu bi wa dhahiku ilayya. غير واحد سلمت عليه فرد علي السلام ورحب بي ودعا لي ولم يضحك إلي." قال: "ذلك مالك خازن النار لم يضحك منذ خلق ولو ضحك لأحد لضحك إليك." So he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Sayyidina Jibreel, why is it that that all of the angels, they welcome me, they smile at me, but this one doesn't. He welcomed me, but he didn't smile at me. He didn't laugh at me. He didn't welcome me. He didn't show cheerfulness. And he said that this is Malik, and he's the guardian of the hellfire. And so his role is to be somebody who is stern for the on the people of the hellfire. He said that if he had smiled at anyone, he would have smiled at you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's many instances in the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, when all of the Muslims, they were worried. They were worried because they were ill-equipped and they were facing an enemy. And anyone who was looking would say that this is the end of the Muslims and the end of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was making a dua, and he would raise his hands and he said, "Oh Allah, if this small band perishes, then you will never be worshipped again." And he was praying. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was praying, and in his prayer he smiled. And after he gave salams, the companions, they asked him, "Why did you smile?" He said that he saw Mika'il. He saw Mika'il. Upon him was dust, and he was leading a group of angels who were going to fight with the Muslims, and he laughed at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled. So even in times of difficulty, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to smile. At the Battle of the Trench, Yawm al-Khandaq, as they were digging the trench, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling. And this was also another time when people, they thought that it was the end of the Muslims. It was the end of Islam, because all of the Arabian Peninsula, they had gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put an end to his mission. But he was optimistic, as we saw in our last class, and he smiled even in difficult circumstances. There's one, once the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him to increase the amount that he used to spend on them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was the head of state and he could have been a wealthy man, he used to give all of his wealth away. And so he wasn't left with much. And he didn't have enough to support his wives. And so they would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said that we want more food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam verses from the Quran, giving them the option to stay with him in hardship, or that he would divorce them and they would have lots of money. And he revealed in Surah Al-Ahzab, "Ya ayyuhan nabi, qul li azwajika in kuntunna turidna al-hayata ad-dunya wa zinataha fata'alayna umatti'akunna wa usarrihkunna sarahan jameela." So he went to Sayyida Aisha, and he said to her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a choice. He said "Inni dhakirun laki amran fa uhibbu an la ta'jali fihi hatta tastamari abawayka." Said, I'm going to mention something to you, and I love and I want you not to rush until you seek the advice of your parents." And she said, "What is it?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse of the Quran. And she said, "Faqalat Aisha, afika astamiru abawayya bal akhtaru Allah wa rasulahu." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Fadahika sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So she said that I choose Allah and His Messenger, and to live a life of hardship. And when she said that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he laughed. Maybe we'll just, there was once a man, narrated a hadith, there was a man, he was cursing Sayyidina Abu Bakr, insulting Sayyidina Abu Bakr, كان أن عن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا شتم أبا بكر والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجب ويبتسم. There was a man, he was insulting Abu Bakr in Mecca and saying things to him. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was amazed and he was smiling. فلما أكثر الرجل رد عليه أبو بكر بعد قوله فغضب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقام فلحقه أبو بكر فقال يا رسول الله كان يشتمني وأنت جالس فلما رددت عليه بعد قوله غضبت وقمت. He said that when the man insulted him even more, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he responded in kind, not as much, but a little bit. He said, and you too. And the Prophet ﷺ got upset and he left. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that when that man was insulting me, you were smiling. And then when I responded, just with something of what he said, you got up and he left. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there was an angel with you who was responding on your behalf when you were silent. But when you started behaving in just the same way as he did, then the shaitan came, and I don't want to sit, and I don't sit with the shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was once, there's a hadith, we'll end with this hadith. There's the Prophet, his life is full of smiles. It's he was the person, he used to smile. When Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid came to him to become a Muslim and to accept Islam, and he's the son, he did, you know, because of him, the beloved companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in the Battle of Uhud, and he's the son of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, who is one of the main enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he came, and when he came to become Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him and he smiled at him, and he became Muslim. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Fath Mecca, after the Fath of Mecca, he was doing tawaf. There was a man who his name was Fudala, and he went to assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as the Prophet was doing tawaf, he had a dagger that was concealed underneath his clothes. And he came close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pull out the dagger and assassinate him after he had Fath of Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and he smiled, and he said, and he asked him, what are you doing, O Fudala? And he said, I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed, and he took his hand and he put it on his chest. And when he put his hand on his chest, the hatred and enmity that he had against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned into love. And he used to report that before he left, there was nobody who was more hated, who he hated more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he left, there was no man who he loved more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in times of battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was cheerful. And we'll end with this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nakhtim bihadha al-hadith. There's narrated by Abdul Razzaq an Abi Talhata radiyallahu anhu annahu qal dakhaltu ala an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam fawajadtuhu masruran. So Abu Talha, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I found him happy. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي مَتَى رَأَيْتُكَ أَحْسَنَ بِشْرًا وَأَطْيَبَ نَفْسًا مِنَ الْيَوْمِ. He said that I don't know if I've ever seen you more happy and more cheerful and more good-natured, and he was always good-natured, than I have today. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded, قال وما يمنعني وجبريل خرج من عندي فبشرني أن لكل عبد صلى علي صلاة يكتب له بها عشر حسنات ويمحى عنه عَشْرُ سَيِّئَاتٍ وَيُرْفَعُ لَهُ بِهَا عَشْرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَيُعْرَضُ عَلَيَّ كَمَا قَالَهَا وَيُرَدُّ عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا دَعَى. He said that why shouldn't I be happy when Sayyidina Jibreel, he just came to me and he gave me good news. And he said that every servant who sends blessings upon me once, 10 good deeds will be written for him and 10 bad deeds will be erased from him. And he'll be raised in 10 degrees and his and the blessings that he sent on me will be presented to me as he said them, and he will be responded to in the same way that he made dua for me. Dua will be made for him. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and give him peace. And this is an example for us to keep in mind as we live our daily lives.
MashaAllah kan. MashaAllah kan. Jazakallah khairan ala hadha al-kitab. فقط يلزمنا التطبيق. اللهم وفقنا للتطبيق.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to apply what we heard in Masha. It's a beautiful book that was written. Does anybody have any questions?
سيدي هل من صاحب الكتاب سيدي؟
مؤلف معاصر اسمه عبد الله نجيب سالم وهذا من الكويت.
ما شاء الله جزاه الله خيرا على هذا المشروع.
كأن هذا الموضوع يتعلق بالموضوع الذي الأسبوع الماضي, يعني هل يعني كان ابتسامه ناشئا عن تفاؤله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
إيه بلا شك بلا شك. على كل حال هذه من صفات الجمال, البشر والتفاؤل كله هذا من صفات الجمال التي تحلى بها صلى الله عليه وسلم. نرجو الله الاقتداء وحسن الاقتداء.
هل هناك يعني صفات الجلال ايضا؟
طبعا في صفات جلاليه, طبعا في صفات جلاليه, لكنه صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم يعني جمالي الاوصاف,
يعني يغلب عليها عليه الجمال.
يعني هلا مثلا عندما سمع من كلمة قالتها إحدى زوجاته يعني أو أشارت بالعيب إلى يعني أو قصر على ضرتها, فتمعر وجهه صلى الله عليه وسلم. لكن هذه لو استقصيتها لوجدتها يعني نادرة في سيرته صلى الله عليه وسلم, ولو وجدت التبسم والتبشش والتبشبش هو السمة يعني الأغلب إن لم تكن يعني هي الكل.
There's traits of beauty and there's traits of majesty. And so the smiling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are traits of beauty, and the traits of beauty predominated over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he would get upset, and so when one of his wives sent him food in the presence of Sayyidina Aisha and she struck the plate and it broke, there were signs of being upset that came on his face. But he said that these are few and far between, and the dominant trait of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the trait of beauty, where he would smile and be cheerful with other people. يقول, you know, يوجد سؤال, is a question, is it appropriate to smile in every situation? هل التبسم هل يليق التبسم في كل حال؟ يعني لو هل يمكن للشخص أن كان مكثرا للتبسم إلى يعني إلى حد لا يليق؟
شو الحد الذي لا يليق؟ لا يعني ما أرى أنه حد لا يليق إلا أنه يشكو إليك يعني حالة يعني مؤلمة وأنت تتبسم لا تتعاطف معه مع هذه الحالة المؤلمة. أما إذا تعاطفت معه مع هذه الحالة المؤلمة ثم بشرته وتبسمت له ما في حرج. أما هو يشكو إليك ألما أصابه هنا يعني ربما التبسم ليس بمحله إلا أن تتعاطف معه أولا ثم تبتسم له.
So is it appropriate to smile in every situation? He said that I said, is it inappropriate to smile in any situation? He said he can't think of any situation where it's inappropriate to smile, except when there's somebody who comes to you complaining to you, telling you of a difficulty that they've been through. So for you to smile in this case is inappropriate because it will hurt that person. So what you do in that case is you empathize with the person, you feel their pain, and you comfort them, and then after you listen to them, then you comfort them, and then you smile at them. You smile at them afterwards. Is it, quote unquote, cheating to make an intention that all our smiles are to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? السؤال يعني الترجمة الحرفية هل لو نوى شخص أن كل ابتسام منه اقتداء بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو تبسم فقط مع أو تبسم مع هذه النية فهل فيه يعني معنى الخداع أو عدم الصدق في التبسم؟
كيف صورة ذلك؟ كيف أين الخداع هنا؟
Salma, can you explain how it would be cheating?
فتشبهوا إن لم تكونوا مثلهم إن التشبه بالكرام فلاح.
So the said that if one is unable to be like somebody who is who has good character or who has a particular state or way of being, then they say that one should try and imitate them, even if one isn't doing it genuinely. Because if one imitates them, if the imitation of honorable people is success. So if the smile is not genuine, but one smiles out of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it falls in the category of imitating somebody who is an honorable and good person, and that's a good thing. Can you give some advice on how to cultivate such mannerisms, patience, and love? سيدي ابني يعني هل هناك هل ممكن أن تقول النصيحة يعني كيف كيف نربي في أنفسنا هذا الصبر وهذه المحبة وهذه الطلاقة إن لم نجدها يعني فينا.
والله قالوا إنما العلم بالتعلم وإنما الحلم بالتحلم، يعني علينا بالمجاهدة في ذلك.
So the scholars, they say that learn, that knowledge, one only gains knowledge by struggling to learn knowledge. And one only acquires the character trait of being patient when one should get angry by struggling to acquire that character trait. So he says that if we don't have it, then we struggle and we attempt and we attempt and we attempt, and then over time it becomes a habit.
أخي إن البر شيء هين وجه طليق ولسان لين.
Said that my dear brother, my dear little brother, being pleasant is very easy. A cheerful face, a cheerful face, and a gentle tongue.
ماذا يحتاج منك أخاك إلا أن تكون لينا معه؟ لا يحتاج. كان هناك مثل يقال عندنا: لاقيني ولا تعطيني، لاقيني أو لا تطعمني. المهم أنت عندما ألتقي بك أن أشعرك بأنني سررت بلقائك.
يعني هذا أهم من الإطعام، يعني
أهم من الإطعام، مع أنه الإطعام يعني شيء حسي ومرغوب للنفس، يعني لكن يقول لاقيني بمعنى يعني ابتسم في وجهي، اهتم بي ولا تطعمني.
He said that being pleasant and cheerful is easy, and just needs a pleasant face and a gentle tongue. And what does your Muslim brother need from you except that? He said that there is a proverb or a saying that they say in Syria that be cheerful, meet me cheerfully, and don't feed me, meaning that meeting somebody with cheerfulness is more important than feeding them food, even though feeding somebody food is something that we that is desirable, and people, they enjoy eating food. And so meeting somebody cheerfully is more important than inviting them for dinner, for example.
كان هناك أحد الأولياء رضي الله عنه، يعني من عرف به أو كان مظنة ولاية، كانوا يزوروه يعني كثير، كل العلماء في الشام كانوا يزورونه، وكانوا يزورون والده قبله، يعني لم يبقى أحد من علماء الشام إلا وزار والده. أبداً لم يبقى أحد من علماء الشام قديماً إلا وزار والده. قال لنا هذا الولد، قال لنا الولد كمان من الأولياء، كنا نزوره مع يعني سيدنا الشيخ مصطفى، فعندما يزوره أي أحد يضع له الطعام مباشرة، وكأنه جهز الطعام، يعني كأنه يعلم بمجيء من يزوره. لكن الغريب أن كان عمره فوق 90 أو فوق 80، ويقف عندما يوضع الطعام يقف على 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 يعني على طرف المائدة ويبتسم حتى يصبح الابتسام بكاء من الفرح. وأهلا وسهلا وأهلا وسهلا وأهلا وسهلا، ويبكي من فرحا بأضيافه وهو في هذه العمر وهو في هذه الدرجة، يبقى مدة الطعام وهو واقف يقول يبكي ويبالغ في السرور، أهلا وسهلا أهلا وسهلا أهلا وسهلا، كلوا يا حبابي كلوا كلوا، هكذا بلهجته يعني.
There was a there's a man who was known for his righteousness in Damascus, and before him his father was also known for his righteousness to be somebody who was one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said his father, there was no scholar of Damascus in previous times except that they had visited his father, because visiting the righteous is an act of worship, and but you benefit from them, you benefit from being with them. And so the son was like that, and scholars used to visit him, people used to visit him, and so Sidi Abu Munir used to visit him with Sheikh Mustafa. He said that when you visited him, the moment you arrived, there would be food would be served, and it was as though the food had been prepared because he knew that you were about to come. And then as the food was placed on the table, he would stand and he would smile, and he would begin by smiling, and he would say, welcome, 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 and you've honored me. And he would keep saying it. He said, eat my beloved guest. And this man, he was over 70 years old. He was an old man, but he would stand at the edge of the table and show his happiness in this way, and he would smile, and he would keep on doing this until he would start crying out of happiness. So his happiness would become expressed as a
إلا الشيخ بدر الدين المحدث، قال لم يزره إلا في الرؤيا، جاءه في الرؤيا وقال له يا فلان، أخذ عصا وخرج إلى خارج بيته الشيخ بدر الدين، وبدأ يفعل في التراب مربع كبير في الحوش، قال له ضع بقراتك، عنده بقر لأنه هو في خارج دمشق يعني في الريف وعنده بقر، قال يا فلان ضع البقرات ضمن هذا المربع الذي خطه في التراب، فوضعه، فأصاب في تلك السنة أصاب مرض جميع الأنعام الأبقار وكذا وكلها ماتت إلا هذا المربع الذي خطه الشيخ بدر الدين ووضع بقراته به، حفظ من الهلاك.
He said that his father, he used to say about his father that all of the scholars of Damascus had visited him. In other words, in recognition of his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, except Sheikh Badruddin al-Hassani, who was the great muhaddis of Damascus. He said he didn't visit him in person, but he visited him in a dream. And he came to him in a dream with a stick, and he drew a square in the sand. So his father used to keep cows, cattle. He's a cattle farmer. So he took some of his. He said to him, "Oh," he mentioned the name of his father. He said, "Place your cattle in this square." And so he took some of his cattle and he placed them inside the square. And then later on, there was a disease that came, and all of his flock was wiped out, except those which he had placed inside the square. when one is studying religion, one tends to grow more serious, and the tendency is to share learning with others, which are usually warnings. تقول السائلة عندما نتعلم العلم نجد أننا نصبح أنه يصبح فينا جدية وعدم التبسم ونميل إلى أن نشارك غيرنا فيما تعلمنا فيما لا يعلمون ونركز على الإنذار والتخويف. ف يعني أين ال... هل يوجد خلل في هذا وأين ال... أين ال...
طبعا يوجد خلل. بشروا ولا تنفروا. وعندما تأتي الموعظة مع التحبب والبشر تكون أرسخ من التخويف.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his companions, he said, give good news and don't drive other people away. So when one when one shares one's learning with others, then the sharing will have a more positive effect if it comes through endearing oneself through them to them, doing things to endear oneself to them, serving them, asking them how they're doing, giving them gifts, being endearing, and then being pleasant and cheerful as one shares one's learning with them. That has an admonition that comes from cheerfulness has a stronger effect than an admonition that comes in the way that's been described.
وهذا منهج النبوة. المعلم سيد المعلمين وسيد المربين وسيد الخلق أجمعين هذا منهجه فمن رغب عن سنته.
So he said that is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's the best of teachers, and he said that whoever turns away from my sunnah is not one of me. يوجد سؤال.
بعدين هناك شيء آخر يتعلق بالسؤال نفسه.
نعم. نعم.
كان الله يرحمه سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن كان كثيرا ما يضع هذا التوجيه، يقول في قوله تعالى هذا خلق الله، هذا خلق الله، فعندما تريد أن توجه لهم نصيحة يعني أنت كأنه في رائحة بعدم يعني لينك معهم تبشبشك معهم كأنه يعني تقول يعني أنا خير منهم. فعندما هذا خلق الله يعني نسبهم الله إليه تشريفا هذا خلق الله. فلنرى لنفس هذه الحالة التي ذكرتها الأخت، لنرى لو جاء إليها ملك البلاد وقال لها نريد أن تعلمي ابني أن تؤدبيه وتعلميه، فكيف تتعامل معه؟ هل تأخذ دور المعلم بهذا الشيء الذي هي ذكرته، أم تتواضع له وتتحبب له وتتهلل في وجهه، أم تكون معلمة يعني قاسية أو هكذا، كيف تتعامل معه؟ السؤال يعني يوجه لها، لو أن ملك البلاد رئيس البلاد وضع ابنه عندك كيف تتعاملين معه؟ فهل يمنعك تعليمه من أن تتبسمي في وجهه هل يمنعك هذا أم تتوددين وتتبسمين لأنه ابن الملك؟ ولو أخطأ لا تعاقبه، هي تأتي إليه بالتأديب بألطف العبارات، فليكن كل من تلقاه ابن الملك.
He said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ash-Shaghouri, may Allah SWT have mercy on him, he used to look at people and he would remember the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hadha khalqullah, means this is the creation of Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so people that we look around at, that we look who are around us, these have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascribed them to himself as their being his creation, out of, in order to honor them, in order to say that they have a high rank. So the in order to say that they have a high rank. And so it's like the example is, one should think of other people when one gives them advice as though there was a king who sent his son to you and told you, teach my son. So if a king sent you his son and said, teach my son, then how would you teach him? It's a question for all of us. How would we teach them? He said that we would keep in mind that this is the son of a very important person. So we would humble ourselves to them, we would be nice to them, we would be kind to them, and we would teach them through this approach. And so he said that let everybody who we teach and share our knowledge with be like the son of the king. And so the general idea here is that when we aren't cheerful and we don't humble ourselves, there is a hint of thinking that we are better than the people who we are speaking to. What should we know about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives our blessings? The aim of this question is to have more yaqeen, so there is more love in our salawat. تقول يعني سائلك ما الذي ينبغي أن نعرف في كيفية تلقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلواتنا؟ أريد أن أعرف هذا الجواب حتى أصلي عليه ويكون في صلاتي يعني محبة أكثر مما يعني أن أزيد في محبتي عندما أصلي عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ممكن السؤال مرة ثانية؟
نعم. هل يمكن شرح يعني أو تفصيل أو يعني ما الذي ينبغي أن نعرف عن كيفية يعني لأن يعني آخر حديث كان أن كل من صلى عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني تعرض صلاته عليه، فيعني كيف يعني ما الذي ينبغي أن نعرف عن تفاصيل هذا حتى يعني نتخيله ونستحضره ونزيد في حبنا عندما نصلي عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مقبولة بأي حالة كانت ولو كانت رياء، هكذا قال العلماء كرامة له صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The scholars, they say that blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one makes blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one's praying for him. He said, and this is a blessing that is accepted all the time. And even if one does it in order to show off, and it's always accepted because of the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فمن أكرم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ من أكرم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أنت تصلي عليه ثم هو لا يرد عليك الصلاة والسلام؟ هذا ليس من أخلاق النبوة.
Said, who is more generous than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Says that you send blessings on him and he doesn't return your blessings. That's not from the character traits of prophecy.
والله ذكرت لكم في الجلسة الماضية وقفتي عند قوله عند مجيء عكرمة رضي الله تعالى عنه عندما قيل أنه يعني جاء فكلمة وثب إليه يعني لا تفارق مخيلتي يعني هذا الذي 20 سنة من العداء قتل من الصحابة ما قتل يعني وقبل أن يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله يقول وثب إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني كم هذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شو هذا الخلق هذا شو هذا يعني أقف عند هذه كلمة وثب يعني لو كانت السياق قام رسول الله إليه عادي استقبله رسول عادي أما وثب إليه فكيف بمن جاءه محبا وهذا جاءه لم يسلم بعد يعني هذا كان قبل إسلامه فكيف بمن جاءه محبا
سيدنا أكرمة when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to accept Islam when he came he was somebody who had been there'd been a command to execute him and then it was retracted and he came and he hadn't become Muslim yet and when he entered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam jumped up to greet him and so he said that he thinks of this and this is something that we can think of when we're sending blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he thinks of this because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he was like this with somebody who had 20 years of enmity to him and who has not become Muslim yet he walks in and he is from the character trait of prophecy of generosity that he stood up and he jumped up to welcome him he said that if he did this for somebody who is an enemy and he hasn't even become Muslim yet then what would he do to somebody who sends blessings on him out of love for him
ومن صلى علي مرة صلى الله بها عليه عشرة يعني هذا العطاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى والإكرام ببركة حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم تأتي به صفة ما لهذه الصلاة بل مجرد من صلى عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن أراد أن يزيد فليكن وقته عامرا بالصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكل يرى البركة في كل أموره.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever sends blessings on me once, Allah sends him blessings on him 10 times through that. So he said that this is something that it's not conditioned. On a particular kind of prayer or a particular kind of blessing or having sincerity when you're giving blessings, one gets it regardless. And the only thing one needs to do to get more is to send blessings on him more. يقول سائل although I like to smile broadly due to a brain injury I think smiling is suppressed when my energy is focused on another activity like walking down the street or listening to a talk for example any comment يقول السائل يعني أحب أن أبتسم، يعني الابتسام محبب إلي، لكن بسبب جرح في الدماغ، يعني أظن أن ابتسامي لا يظهر عندما أركز في شيء آخر، عندما أكون مركزا كالمشي في الشارع أو الاستماع إلى خطبة مثلا. ف يعني هل هناك أي تعليق على هذا؟
هذا يعني هذا شيء خلقي، لا هو الله يعلم منه أنه يريد هذا، لكن هذا منعه هذا الشيء المرضي أو الشيء الذي تعرض له. لكن هل التعبير عن الابتسامة مو فقط أنه يستطيع أن يبتسم يضحك أو لا، لا هلا ممكن أن كما ورد بوصف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا ينزع يده من سلم عليه حتى ينزع الرجل يده من يده، فهذا من جملة اللين ومن جملة البشر منه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your desire to smile broadly, and so that is that's and so it's because of something of an inability, so there's no there's one isn't taken to task for that. But there's also smiling is part of more generally being a welcoming person. So there are other ways to express the same thing that we would express with a smile. So for example, when somebody would come and shake the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wouldn't release the hand, he wouldn't be the first one to release the hand. So this is another expression of the spirit that one expresses when one smiles. So one can do other things as well.
فإن لم تملك الابتسامة على الفم املك الكلام اللين، هذا يعبر عن هذا.
نعم. He said also speaking gently, that's also it expresses the same thing that a smile expresses. So if you're unable to smile broadly all the time, then speak gently. Do speak gently. Take when people take your hand, be welcoming and loving to them, and don't let it go. And do these other things that are within your ability to do. Are there any du'as one can read to gain a more positive disposition? Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. يقول يسلم عليكم سيدي، ثم يقول هل هناك أدعية نقرأها لنزيد في أنفسنا أن نكون إيجابيا أكثر؟
طبعا ذكرنا في أظن الأسبوع الماضي أنه لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما تصلح لي بها شأني كله، شأن ديني ودنياي وآخرتي. وتقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما أرث بها خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، تبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، بسط وجهه صلى الله عليه وسلم، كريم عشرته صلى الله عليه وسلم، ما تجده من نفسك من نقص كمله بإرث من إرث سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Said yes, there are du'as. One of these du'as is so. If you email me, I'll send it out. Inshallah, I'm intending to send this out on a public email as well. Inshallah, hopefully you'll get it. It's Allahumma salli ala La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You say La ilaha illallah, then you say Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and send blessings on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then through that blessing, you ask whatever it is that you like. And he, and in this particular instance, says that one asks that through this blessing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repairs our worldly life and our next worldly life and our religion. And also that one thereby repents from one inherits the smiling of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One inherits the cheerfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever one is unable to achieve oneself, one asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give it to one through one's inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's my email? My email is hamza@basiraeducation.org.
كان من أخلاق بعض الصالحين أنه إذا ألمه شيء من جسده مثلا ألمه رأسه يقول اللهم يضع يده على رأسه ويقول اللهم صل على رأس سيدنا محمد اللهم ارسل وسلم وبارك على رأس سيدنا محمد. إذا ألمته يده بطنه كذا يسمي. فنحن إذا شكينا أمرا من أمور أخلاقنا فنتوجه إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بإرث من ميراثه صلى الله عليه وسلم مما نشكو منه وكثيرا مما نشكو، فنتوسل به صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن يرثنا نرث من ميراثه صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من أخلاقه وآدابه وإيمانه ويقينه وصدقه وإخلاصه وكمال أوصافه صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يمتزج وصفنا بوصفه وذاتنا بذاته وروحنا بروحه.
He said that one of the people who were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they used to send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they had a headache, they would pray for the removal of pain and healthiness in the disposition of health and health for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they had any kind of thing that they didn't like, or that was unpleasant, they would ask Allah. They would send blessings on the Prophet and ask Allah Subhanahu wa Taala to not give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through that, they wouldn't. That was an indirect way of asking for it for oneself. So he said that when there's a character trait that we don't have, then we do the same thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give it to us because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet, he left behind an inheritance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that inheritance. And we can ask any dua that we, anything that we want. There's a question. Did you translate the hadith earlier? Sakinu wa la tunaffiru? No, it's a different narration. The narration that was quoted was Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. And Bashiru means to give good news and make them cheerful.
وَيَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا.
And then the completion of the hadith is that and make things easy and don't make things difficult. هل في ديننا أن نحذف question. There's a lot of advice these days about deleting toxic people out of your life. Does our deen have this idea? يعني هل في ديننا معنى حذف الأشخاص يعني المسمومة من حياتنا يعني يوجد شخص يعني يضر بالغير مضر بالغير ف يعني نحذفهم من حياتنا هل هذا معنى صحيح؟
أنا لا أرى ذلك أنا لا أرى أن هذا الذي تريد أن تحذفه من حياتك هذا صيد لك، فكيف تحذفه من حياتك؟ هذا مطالب أنت بأن تتودد له وتحسن إليه. يعني متى تظهر أصلاً، متى تظهر الأخلاق؟ هل تظهر الأخلاق عندما أنا أتبسم في وجهك؟ أنت تتبسم في وجهي. عندما أحسن إليك أنت تحسن إلي. هذه ليست لا لا لم تكن هذه مظهرة للأخلاق. هذا التكافؤ، هذا يعني أنت تفعل شيء مكافأة لما جاءك، هذا لا يظهر الأخلاق. الأخلاق لا تظهر إلا بإساءة المسيء لك فتظهر أخلاقك. فأن تحذف أحدا، رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء عامة للخلق. والله شيء عجيب، والله شيء عجيب. سمعت من يعني عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان كلما نزلت آية فيها رجاء يقول للصحابة الكرام أبلغوا هذه الآية وحشي، وحشي من قتل عم رسول الله، قتل أحب الخلق إلى رسول الله. كلما نزلت آية فيها يعني رجاء يقول للصحابة الكرام أبلغوا وحشيا هذه الآية. فهل حذف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حياته أحد؟ بل كان إذا تفلتت منه روح من أرواح الأرواح اليهود أو النصارى أو المشركين كان يتألم أنه تفلتت منه هذه الروح ولم يعني يصل هديه إليها. فأنا أقول لك لا تحذف.
Said, he doesn't believe that our deen has this idea of deleting toxic people out of our lives. It's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, somebody who is toxic, this person is an opportunity for us, because when we have good character to them and we endear ourselves to them, then this is a way for them to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that just the other day he came across that Wahshi, who killed the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hamza, whenever there was a verse about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell his companions, convey this to Wahshi, because he wanted him to understand that despite the fact that he had killed that one of the people who was most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted him to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't want to delete him. So this idea of deleting people, it's not the prophetic way.
أظن قيل لسيدنا عبد القادر الجيلاني رضي الله عنه، قالوا له في الصالح والطالح، فقال الصالح لنا والطالح نحن له.
يعني نتودد إليه، نجتهد فيه.
الصالح لنا هو انتسب إلينا، طيب الطالح نحن نقبل عليه ونحن له. يعني أظن هذا القول لسيدنا الشيخ عبد القادر الجيلاني يعني كاف في هذا الموضوع، من أن لا نحذف أحدا من حياتنا. هذا الذي تحذفه ربما يكون خياركم في الجاهلية خياركم في الإسلام.
He said that Sidna Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he thinks that this is something he said. He used to say that the righteous person is for belongs to us. And the person who isn't righteous, we belong to them. Meaning that Sidna Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, he was somebody to whom people would come and ascribe themselves to him as their students. So he says that if the person is righteous, a good person, then he's ascribing himself to us. As for us, what we do is we ascribe ourselves to the people who are not like that. Why? Because we endear ourselves to them. We work to bring them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We humble ourselves to them. And these people are our door to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sayyiduna Suhail ibn Amr kana salit al-lisan wa kana yahju Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqila li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani ud'u alayhi aw أمسك به سيدنا عمر وأراد أن يقطع لسانه فقال له حبيب الله قال له دعه يا عمر يعني سوف يأتي يوم تسر بما سيخرج منه أو يعني كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام فقيل وهذا سمعته من سيدنا شيخ الرحمن قيل أن عند وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المشهور في السيرة أن سيدنا أبو بكر كان يقول خطب وقال من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. سمعت من سيدنا شيخ عبد الرحمن أنه قالها سهيل ابن عمرو. يعني ربما يكون توارد هذا الخاطر على يعني خرجت من سيدنا أبو بكر وخرجت من سيدنا سهيل لكن وقف هذا الموقف وكان يعني موقفا سر به سيدنا عمر يعني من كان اليوم أنت في نظرك يعني بعيدا لا ندري غدا من يكون كم من قريب صار بعيدا وكم من بعيد صار قرير العين.
He said that somebody who might be far today from Allah tomorrow might be somebody who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't know how people are and how they'll end their lives. So he mentioned that there was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whose name was Suhail ibn Amr, and he used to say harmful things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyidina Umar, he once wanted to cut off his tongue or do something to him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Leave him, O Umar, because one day he'll say something that will please you, that will make you happy." And so he says that he heard this from Sheikh Abdul Rahman. Whether the authenticity of it, it might need to be reviewed. But there's a higher level message that it conveys. And so in this version of events, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, then the companions were shocked. And Sayyidina Umar himself, he wove his sword and he said, "Anyone who says the Prophet has died, I'll chop off his head." So the famous narration of this is that Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that whoever used to worship Muhammad, Muhammad has died. And whoever, as for he who worships Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is living and does not die. But he heard from Sheikh Abdul Rahman that the person who said this was Suhail ibn Amr. And so maybe there's a narration that says this. And so the meaning is that this was something that pleased Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar benefited from him. So at this moment, he wanted to cut off his tongue, but in the future, there came a time when he himself benefited from him. So if there's somebody who is toxic now, we don't know how things will end up. Maybe in the future there will be a reason to benefit us. تقول سائلة, where does this concept of loyalty fit with not deleting someone? If our father or teacher expects that we do not talk to someone who dishonored them, what should we do? معنى الوفاء في هذا في عدم حذف شخص. إن كان أبونا أو شيخنا يعني يتوقع منا ألا نكلم شخصا قد أهانه, فكيف نفعل؟
تمام. قيل لأحد الشيوخ, قال له مريده, قال له أنا لن أتكلم مع فلان. قال لماذا يا بني؟ قال ذكرك بسوء وهو لا يحبك. قال يعني أنت قاطعته لأنه لا يحبني. قال نعم. قال هو يحب الله ورسوله؟ قال نعم. قال أحبه لله ورسوله.
Said one of the sheikhs said to his students, to his murids, his murid came up to him and he said that there's so and so, he says bad things about you, and so I'm not going to talk to him. And so the sheikh said to him that so you've severed your ties from him because he speaks badly about me? He said yes. He said, does he love Allah and his messenger? He said yes. Then he said, does he speak well about Allah and his messenger? He said yes. Then he said, then restore your ties to him and love him for the sake of Allah and his messenger.
بعدين ربما يكون قد وصلته صورة مشوهة عن شيخك أو عن والده كما ذكرت يعني الأخت أو كما ذكر. فإذا لم تظهر أخلاقك معه, كيف يعرف شيخك وكيف يعرف أبوك؟ فعندما تظهر أنت له الإحسان وتظهر له الود وتظهر هذه الأشياء التي وصلته مشوهة, تتضح, تكون أنت موضحا لها.
He said that also then there's, if somebody has dishonored your father or your teacher, then it may be that they dishonored them because they don't understand them, or they have a false, they think badly of them because of misinformation. So if you treat them well and you're good and kind to them, then you then become a door for them to, and they know that you are the student of such a person, or you are the child of a father, then you then become a door through which they'll stop dishonoring them, and you will bring them back. You'll bring them back, and so you'll save your father or your teacher from being dishonored.
أعرف شخصاً كان يتردد على جماعة من الجماعات إلى حلقة من الحلقات. وهذه الحلقة كانت التسبيحهم ذكر شيخه بسوء. تسبيحهم, تهليلهم ذكر شيخه بسوء. فجالسهم وخالطهم, ومرتان بعد مرة بعد مرة بعد مرة بعد مرة لم يقل شيء في ذلك, لم يقل شيء في حق شيخه أبدا. أصبح هذا التسبيح في سوء, يعني السوء الذي كانوا يوجهونه له لشيخه, أصبح يقولون رضي الله عنه, عندما يذكر يقولون رضي الله عنه. والله أعرف هذا حقيقة. عندما خالطهم ولم يكلمهم في شأن شيخه, وعلمهم أنه هذا تلميذ ذلك الشيخ, أصبح هذا التسبيح في الإساءة للشيخ رضي الله عنه.
He said that he knows of someone who there was a group of people, and this group of people, they used to gather, and their tasbih, their subhanallah, and their remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking bad about his shaykh. So they would get together, and the only thing they could think of was saying bad things about his shaykh. So this person, he went and he sat with them, he joined them in their conversations. And he was nice to them and he was kind to them. He didn't say anything about his shaykh. He didn't say anything about his teacher. He said that over time, just by the fact that he mixed with them and he kept their company, their demeanor towards his shaykh changed. And they started saying, mentioning his name and saying that may Allah be pleased with him. And he's a good man. And the reason why they did that is because this person who they knew was his student was kept their company and was friendly to them.
شوف عند هجرة الصحابة الكرام إلى الحبشة وجاء يعني بعض زعماء قريش وقالوا للنجاشي هؤلاء كذا عن ذكروا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنه يقطع الرحم وأنه فأحب النجاشي أن يسمع من الطرف الآخر الذي هم في يعني فعندما سمع منهم أوصاف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم و يعني كان صلى عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الغائب لما وقع في قلب النجاشي من حب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأنت رسول لأبيك أنت رسول لأبيك وأنت رسول لشيخك وأنت رسول لدينك فلا يؤتى من طرفك.
Said that when the companions were in Habasha and they made the first emigration to Abyssinia before the emigration to Medina, the people from Quraysh came after them, chasing them. And they went to the Negus and they spoke badly of these people. They spoke badly of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him, to the king of Abyssinia. The king of Abyssinia called the Muslims who had emigrated to hear from them about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he heard a different story. And because of that different story, he became Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Salatul Janaza over him. So he said that Zirwani says that you are a messenger to other people from your father, and you are a messenger to other people from your teacher, and you are a messenger to other people from your deen, from your religion. And so let not people speak badly of your father or your teacher of your religion because of you.
عندما أحد الصحابة الكرام كان يشرب يعني خمرا وأقيم عليه الحد يعني أكثر من مرة فكأن بعض الصحابة نالوا منه يعني أو دعوا عليه أو يعني صدر منهم في حقه كلام فنهاهم عليه الصلاة وقال إنه يحب الله ورسوله يعني لم هذه المعصية لم تكون إذنا لأن ينالوا منه انظر إلى الإيجابيات التي موجودة يحب الله ورسوله غلبته نفسه في معصية ما يعني أين وظيفتك أنت يعني إذا كان المجتمع كله الذي تجتمع به كله على وتيرة واحدة من الصلاح طيب أين وظيفتك في المبتعد البعيد عن الحق أين وظيفتك أليست هذه بغيتك وهذا صيدك وهذه رسالتك هذا
said that that سيدي فاتني أول كلام كان عن
أول كلام أنه أحد الصحابة كان شارب خمر.
نعم. So he said that one of the companions, he used to drink wine, and he was punished for that. And the other companions, they spoke badly of him. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade them from speaking badly of him, and he said that he loves Allah and His Messenger. And Sayyid Munir said that, and so the same applies here. If somebody loves Allah and His Messenger, then this places them, this gives them a right over one, that one maintains ties to them and one loves them for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And he said that another thing that I actually neglected to translate earlier, he said that good character appears when somebody is bad to you. So when somebody is rude to you and you're kind to them, that's when good character appears. When somebody is good to you and you're good back to them, that's not when good character really appears. So this goes back to the earlier question of deleting toxic people out of one's life. And that rather when somebody is bad to one, one should be good to them. And he said, and in that same vein, he said that if in the world there's people who are bad and they speak badly of other people and they are far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're not, they're toxic. He said that what do we do about these people? Where is your role in these people? These people are an opportunity. And who's going to help them? Who's there for them? And so these people are an opportunity and they're not meant, they're not to be deleted or thrown by the wayside. So we've gone over, it's been a long lesson. So Jala, I know there's many questions, but I think we'll stop here. And if you have other questions, send me a message. And hamza@basireducation.com. And there's a request to send all of these du'as. I'll send them through email, inshallah. In the coming week, I'll send an email with these du'as, inshallah. And we'll stop here. سألوني عن الأدعية فسأكتبها وأرسلها عبر الإيميل للسائلين إن شاء الله نقف هنا سيدي إن شاء الله الله يجزيكم الخير. هو كان هل يعني قال البعض قال سأل البعض يعني هو الوقت يعني بكير له، فهل كنت أريد أن أسأل الحاضرين وأسألكم أيضا لو أخرنا وقت الدرس بساعة ساعتين هل هذا يكون أنسب لكم سيدي أو؟
ما عندي مانع أبدا.
So there are some people who are saying that the time is of this class is too early for them and they would like to attend. So if we delayed this class by another hour or two, then is there anybody anybody have any objections to that? Would that be okay? So hopefully then I'll send an email with the dua and with the time change, and we will have our next class next week, inshallah.
أنا في قبضة الله أسير فأينما سيرني أسير. كان يرددها سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن كثيرا. أنا في قبضة الله أسير فأينما سيرني أسير. الأسير الأولانية من الأسر والثانية من السير.
Said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman used to frequently say that I am a prisoner in the hands of Allah, and so wherever he turns me, wherever he tells me to go, I go. In Arabic, there's a pun there because the word for prisoner and going is the same. Sounds very nice in Arabic, and so he's out of his humility, he's saying that whichever time we direct him to, he will come at that time. Jazakumullahu khairan.
نسأل الله أن يحققنا فيما يعني ذكرتم وتفضلتم نرجو من الله القبول واستعطاف قلب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. إذا تريد أن تحذف كيف تتواصى بالحق وكيف تتواصى بالصبر؟ مع من؟ إذا حذفت من حياتك من هو بحاجة إلى أن يسمع منك الحق، من يحتاج منك إلى أن تدله على الحق، فأين تطبيق هذه الآية إذا كان مجتمعك كله صالحا لا في تواصي بحق ولا في تواصي بصبر؟ والتواصي بالحق والصبر يحتاج إلى هذا التفاوت، أليس كذلك؟
He ended with the surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Asr, which is enjoining one another to do the right thing, mutual enjoining. He says that how is that possible if we just delete people out of our lives? And that it's only possible, and it goes against the ideal.
العناية صدف في خفايا الأيام والعطايا تحف لا بسعي الأقدام. قد عرف من عرف وجهل من قد لام. لا تحرج على غير أهل الصدق. يسعد الله من شاء ومن شاء يشقي. هؤلاء الذين تحرج عليهم، يعني تريد أن تحذفهم من حياتك لأنهم لم، هؤلاء نواصيهم بيد الحق، قلوبهم بيد الحق، ممكن اليوم هم بعيدون عن الحق وغدا أقرب مني إلى الحق، فلا تحرج عليهم. يسعد الله من شاء ومن شاء يشقي. يحتاجون إلى الرحمة، يحتاجون إلى من يأخذ بيدهم، يحتاجون إلى من يساعدهم، يحتاجون إلى من يكون لينا في الأخذ بيدهم إلى الحق سبحانه وتعالى. وإلا ماذا، ما هي وظيفة الداعية؟ ما هي وظيفة الرسول؟ ما هي وظيفة كل مسلم إلا أن لينوا بأيدي إخوانكم؟
He recited some lines of poetry, and the lines of poetry, they mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whoever he wills, and he leads astray whoever he wills, and things change. So when we don't know where, how a particular person will end up, and our goal and our role, the role of messengers, the role of teachers, and the role of every Muslim is to be somebody who helps other people. And people who are far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in need of our help. And this is where we're supposed to focus.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم.